Shabbos Chazoin. We all know that in the Sedris from Bereishis until the Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, the Haftedas of the Parshas are based on the Teichen of the Parsha. Whereas from Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, the 3 weeks, the three Haftedas are of Puranos, are of the Nevuas, of the Churban, and the 7 weeks from Shabbos Nachmon till Reish Hashanah is the Shiva Dinechemta, the 7 weeks of comfort and consolation on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, even though that seemingly these parishes and the Haftarah have not to do with one another, because the Haftarah is about the period of time that we're in the 3 weeks, however, because everything in Torah is meduyik, is exact, so therefore we have to find the connection between the Parsha and the Haftarah. And the week of Shabbos Chazoin, everyone, all the Minig Yisrael, is to call the Shabbos, Shabbos Chazoin. Chazoin is the name of the Haftarah. Chazoin, that's the first word of the Haftarah. So we understand that the content of the entire Shabbos is the idea of Chazoin. What is really the connection between Chazoin, Yishayo, which is the vision of Yishaya, which is the calamities and the catastrophes that are going to come to the Yidden and the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash? What is the connection between that and Parshas Tevarim? So we could say that the Nevuah of the Haftarah of Chazoin Yishaya is all about the Musar that Yishaya is giving the people, the Yidden, of how, if they don't keep the Torah and so on and so forth, they will come the Churban. However, the end of the Haftarah, it ends off with Tzin, the Pasuk, Tzin b'mishpat tipode v'shaveo b'tzdaka. The union of the Geula, that Tzin will be redeemed b'mishpat, and v'shaveo and its captives with tzdaka. Similarly, we find in Parshas Dvarim. Most of the Parsha is the rebuke, the Musar that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving to the Yidden. However, the end, we find the reassurance of Hashem to the Yidden. The pasuk, Leiti ro'um ki Hashem elekechem hu hanilchom lochem. Don't fear the nations of Eretz Canaan that you're going to conquer, because Hashem, your God, is going to fight for you. So what do we find? We find that right at the end, like the Chazal say, Akel helech achar achitum, everything goes after the end punchline. So what is the end of all of the Haftarahs of Puranos, of the 3 weeks of Haftarahs of Puranos, and at the end of the most strict one, the most difficult one, the Haftarah of Chazoin, what does it end off? With the union of Gula, the union of Tzin, b'mishpatipada, v'shaveh b'tzdaka. And because the Haftarah is also the end and the culmination of the parasha, so it comes out that the siyum, the ending, and the sahakil, the subtotal, what is all the parasha culminate with? What does it end with? The union of Gula. And this is actually why the Tzemach Tzedek, when he put together the Ma'amorim in Likutei Torah, the Ma'amorim of the Alter Rebbe, when he put the Ma'amorim together and he compiled it in a sefer of Ma'amorim based on the Parshas HaShavua, we find a very interesting thing, that in Parshas Dvarim, the only Ma'amor that there is on the Pasuk of the Haftarah, the last Pasuk of the Haftarah, Tzim B'mishpat Pada V'Shaveh B'Tzdaka. Why? According to what we've said, because this is the idea of the Seder. In order to get this, an idea, an insight into this, that the idea of the Seder, which the Seder is Puranus, the idea of the Haftarah, which the Haftarah is Chazoin Yishayo, a union of Musar, and yet it culminates and it ends with the union of the Geula, and that's the entire idea of it, we will understand by bringing a very interesting question that's asked based on a Medrash. The Medrash in Yalkut brings at the beginning of Yirmiyah as follows. It says as follows in Yalkut. Olo Aryeh, b'mazal Aryeh, v'hechriv es Aryeh. Olo Aryeh, a lion went up, b'mazal Aryeh, in the mazal of a lion, v'hechriv Aryeh, and destroyed Aryeh. explains the Alkot, what is it referring to? Ola Arye, lion went up, Zeh Nebuchadnezzar. This is Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king that went to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Chsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Ola Arye Mesuvchem. But Mazal Arye, what is the Mazal of Arye? So it's, the Pasuk is, the Pasuk says, Galus Yerushalayim, Chedesh HaChamishi, that the Mazal of where Tisha B'Av is in the Mazal of Arye. V'hechri v'es Ariel. What is Ariel? Ariel, Kiryas Chana David, Ariel is Yerushalayim, is the Beis HaMikdash. Carries on the Yalkut and says, Almanas, in order, Sheyove Arye, B'Mazal Arye, V'yivne Ariel. That the beginning half of the Medrash, that it said that Ola Arye, B'Mazal Arye, V'hechri v'es Ariel, that the lion went up, the Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mazal of Arye, says the Medrash, that is Almanas, it's as if it's a condition. Almanas, in order that Arye should come, says the Medrash carries on, Yoveh Arye, who is this? Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Hashem. Tichsiv Bei, as it says about Hashem, Arye Shoag, Mila Yira, a lion will roar, who will not fear? That is going on Hashem. But Mazal Arye, in the Mazal of Arye, that the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash will be in Mazal Arye, as it says in the Pasuk, V'afachti Evlom L'sosin, Hashem will transform the mourning into rejoicing, which the mourning is on Tisha B'Av in the month of Av, in the Mazal of Arye, and that will be transformed into rejoicing. V'yivne Ariel, and Hashem, in the month, in the Mazal of Arye, will build Ariel, as it says in the Pasuk, B'nei Yerushalayim Hashem, Nitchi Yisrael Ichanis. This is the words of the Yalkut. Now everything in Torah is absolutely exact. And the question is, why does the... It's not just a nice poetic thing that the Medrash used, that a lion went up in the Mazal of a lion and destroyed Ariel, in order that the Sheyavei Ariel in the Mazal of Ariel rebuild Ariel. What is the play on the word Ariel? Why doesn't it just say straight that Nebuchadnezzar came b'chedesh hachamishi almanas, that Hashem should come and build the Beis HaMikdash? Why does the term Ari use the same word, the same name, used both for the Churban and for the Binyan, for the destruction and for the rebuilding? So in order to understand this, we go into a very interesting question, a general question, and an insight in the entire concept of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There is a halacha that everyone knows, and it's brought down, the mitzvah of Baal Tashchis. You're not allowed to destroy something or waste something that is good. The halacha is kolam shaber kelim, anyone that breaks vessels, v'kirei abgadim, or tears clothes, v'hedis binyan, or breaks down a building, derech hashchase, if it's in a way of destruction, eiver b'leis hashchis. He's eiver on the lav, on the commandment of Hashem, not to destroy, things. That is, in general. Then there is a special isur, a special prohibition about the Beis HaMikdash, that you're not allowed to destroy a part of the Beis HaMikdash. It's the Rambam paskens, Haneisitz Evan Achas Mina Mizbeach. Someone that breaks a stone from the Mizbeach. Oyimi Kola Hechol, Oyimi Bein Olam La Mizbeach. Or from the entire Beis HaMikdash. If you break a stone from the Beis HaMikdash, Derech Hashchose, if it's done intentionally to destroy it, Leike, he receives Malkus. It's an Aveir. He is transgressed a isur. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, when he tats them as mizbechaisam, one should destroy the mizbechais, the altars of the goyim. But leisasun kein l'Hashem elekeicham, one is not allowed to do so in Hashem's mizbeach. And the same thing, the Beis HaMikdash. This is also brought down in the Rambam. Actually, brings this when he brings all the mitzvahs, he uses the lashon shelo la'avid bat Beis HaMikdash ibati knisiyas ibati midrashes. One is not allowed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash or any shuls or Beis HaMidrashes. And here we have an amazing question. It says in the Pasuk, Magid Dvarav LeYakev, Chukov U'Mishpatav LeYisrael. Chukov, Hashem's statutes, U'Mishpatav, and His laws, Hashem gave LeYisrael to the Yidden. Hashem is Mekayim, the mitzvahs that He tells us. And therefore, it's not understood. How could it be that the Eibishter could let that we should destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Not just let to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Hashem sending Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And if you want to say that Yidden were not fitting to have the Beis HaMikdash, so the Eibishter could have not destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem could have hid the Beis HaMikdash. As we find that the Ohel Moed, the Mishkan, was hid, it was buried. It's in catacombs underneath the Temple Mount, wherever it is. And we also find about the Beis HaMikdash itself, that the Pasuk says, Tovu Ba'aretz She'areha, that the She'arim, the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, sank into the ground. And many other Kalim were hidden. So Hashem didn't need to destroy the Beis HaMikdash if He wanted to take it away from the Yidden. Hashem could have hidden it. How was Hashem allowed to, kiviyachol, destroy the Beis HaMikdash if it's a mitzvah in the Torah? Number one, of Baal Tashchis, and number two, even more so about the Beis HaMikdash, there's a special iser of not destroying or not breaking intentionally any part of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, a way to answer the first question of the first mitzvah we brought down of Baal Tashchis, one could argue and say as follows. That it says in the Pasuk, Kila Hashem es chamosei. Hashem poured out His anger. So it says in the Maimar Hazal, Chazal say, Shafa chamosei ala itzim v'ala avonim, v'le shafa chamosei al Yisrael. Hashem poured out His wrath, His anger, on the sticks and stones, and He didn't pour out His anger on the Yidden. In other words, Hashem let out His anger, so to say, on the Yidden, He let it out on the sticks and stones of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's how He destroyed it. And therefore, it's not really Baal Tashchis. Hashem didn't really destroy the Beis HaMikdash intentionally. He had anger against the Yidden. And He let it out on the sticks and stones of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's not really destroying. This is a loophole in Halacha. When you are allowed to destroy, when it's a tikkun, when you are fixing something. Right? You can't fix something. If you can't fix something, unless you break it, then you're allowed to break it. So the same thing, Hashem did this in a way of fixing rather than breaking. We find this also, this din is about Shabbos. That the din is on Shabbos. Somebody that smashes or breaks something for absolutely no good reason, then he is potter. However, if someone is angry and then he breaks something or he tears a clothing, then he is chayev. Why? Because by tearing or breaking in his anger, he has calmed himself down. And that is a tikkun, that he has achieved something. He has fixed something. And for that, he is chayev. So the same thing we can say about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that in Hashem destroyed it in a way of getting kila chamosei, getting rid of his anger, pouring out his anger, letting it out on the sticks and stones, which is really an inyan of tikkun, of rectification, because he's not letting it out on the Yidden. And therefore, one could argue and say that there's no isur of Baal Tashchis. There's no prohibition of destroying something for no good reason. Because here, there is a good reason. However, we still have the second question. The second question is from the mitzvah, the special mitzvah of Leitasun Kein, one is not allowed to do destroying purposely in the Beis HaMikdash. And even though that the Isser of Leitasun Kein is only when it's done to destroy, but if you're destroying it in order to fix, like we said before, then of course it is mutter. They were allowed to, if they had to fix something at the Beis HaMikdash, they were allowed to break something in order to fix it better. But obviously it means to fix it better in the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't mean to let out to destroy it for one purpose, and you're fixing something else. No, you have to fix the actual building of the Beis Hamikdash if you're destroying it. And we find that this is also about a shul. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that Osur Lister Dover Mibes HaKnesses, you're not allowed to destroy something that's part of a shul. Elohim Kain Esal Manas Livnes. Only if you're doing it for the purpose in order to rebuild. But if you're doing it to rebuild it in its place, to rebuild the actual object of what you're destroying, but not for any other purpose, even if the other purpose is a mitzvah, it's still osir to destroy that part of the shul. Only if you want to build and build in its place. So how could that be about the Beis Hamikdash? Hashem destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. If we'd argue and say that it was just to pour out his anger and let it out on the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore he's done a tikkun for the Yidden. Yeah, but he's destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, so it's not Baal Tashchis. But he's destroying the Beis Hamikdash, and that is Asur. Like any shul and the special mitzvah of not destroying any part of the Beis Hamikdash, if you're not going to rebuild it. And therefore, we must say that this is what the Medrash alludes to when it says, Ola Arye v'hecher v'sariel almanas sheyove Arye v'yivne Ariel. The words almanas means it's a condition. In order. There's a purpose. Hashem only did it almanas in order for. This emphasizes that the point of why Hashem destroyed the Beis Hamikdash was not because he wanted the destruction, but almanas sheyovei aryeh v'yivna ariel. Hashem did it almanas livnes. Hashem destroyed it almanas in order to build. To build what? To build the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore we understand that obviously there's no isur of breaking the Beis Hamikdash because it's not churban. This, in the Lashon of Halacha, hahi nesitza binyan mikri. This nesitza, this destroying, is considered building. In other words, the meaning of the destroying of here is for the purpose of building. And that's why the Yalkut uses the same name, Ola Aryeh, B'mazal Aryeh, V'echer V'saril, Amnas Shiyove Aryeh, V'yivn Ariel, because of here he's bringing out and emphasizing what is the Teichen Pnimi, the deeper content of the Churban of the destruction. That the deeper meaning, the deeper intention in the destruction is Binyan, is rebuilding. The same name that we refer to in destruction, the same name we use in rebuilding in Yave Aryeh, B'mazal Aryeh, V'yivne Ariel. Because that is Hashem's intention in the destruction is for the rebuilding. Hashem's destroying the Beis Hamikdash in order to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. What do we see from here? A tremendous, beautiful idea, concept in the whole concept of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash Harishon and the Beis Hamikdash Hasheni. It's not that Hashem is going to start. When is Hashem going to start building the third Beis Hamikdash that is going to be built by Hashem, Yahweh Aryeh, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yivne Sariel? It's not something that's going to start when Mashiach is going to come. When did Hashem start building the Beis Hamikdash? Straight by the Churban. Straight when He destroyed it. Not just that. The whole reason why He destroyed the Beis Hamikdash in the first place was because Hashem wanted to be metaken, to fix and elevate and reach a higher level in the Beis Hamikdash that wasn't there till then. And that's why He had to destroy it in order to rebuild it on a greater level. Why? Because the previous Beis Hamikdash, the first and the second, were Binyana de Bar Nash. That is the Lashon of the Zohar. They were buildings of human beings. They were built by people. That cannot be everlasting. Whereas Binyana de Kodesh Baruch Hu, something built by Hashem, is a Binyan Nitzchi, is an everlasting building. And therefore, Hashem, in His intention, why He destroyed the first and the second Batim Mikdash, in order to reach this high level of Binyana de Kodesh Baruch Hu, that He should have the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, which is Hashem's building, which is an everlasting building, comes out that the Churban, that he destroyed the first two Bat Mikdashes is not a destruction for itself, but it has the gather of binyan, of building. According to this, we can explain a story that's brought down in Medrash. But it says in the Medrash that at the moment, at the time of the burning on Tisha B'Av, of the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, there was an Arab that heard how a cow that belonged to a Yid was tzaka, made a sound, cried. So he said the Arab said, I know from this it's a sign that the Beis HaMikdash, the temple of the Jewish people, is being destroyed. Right after that, Haparot Zeyekes Pam Acheres, the cow cried out again, and he said, aha, Neilad Meshi'eyem V'Geolon Shel Yisrael. This is a sign that the Redeemer and the Mashiach, the one, the Savior of the Yidden, has been born. What do we see from here? We see that when is Mashiach born? Straight at the rega, at the moment of the Churban. Right when there is the Churban, right then Mashiach is already born in order prepared to save the Yidden and to redeem the Yidden. Because as soon as Yidden do tshuva, Miyad Hainigol and Yidden are going to be redeemed straight away when they do tshuva. And therefore, in order for there to be a possibility that Mashiach should come immediately, Mashiach has to be born straight away after the Churban. But what does that show us? Even deeper than that. That the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Geula and the building of the Beis HaMikdash are not far apart from each other. But straight after the destruction, straight away in this physical world, in Eretz Yisrael, is the beginning already of the Geula, is the beginning of the rebuilding. Mashiach is born. We celebrate, we feel it, the Churban, we feel the destruction. We keep the laws of Tisha B'Av and everything. But what is the pnimius, the deeper intention in Tisha B'Av? It's a day of tshuva. And what is the idea of tshuva? To bring the Yidden to do tshuva that will bring the actual Geula and the building of Beis HaMikdash Bepeil. So over here we have a beautiful concept that we see that the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the fixing of the Beis HaMikdash, when does it begin? Not it's going to begin when Mashiach is going to come la'asid labi. But it already started from the moment of the Churban. This idea we see also in the first Golos, in Golos Mitzrayim, straight away after when Hashem said the Gezeira by the Bris HaBein Absorim, that the Yidden are going to go into Golos Mitzrayim. And he said to Avram Avinu, Va'avodum v'inu yesom, that Yidden are going to have to serve Parai. Hashem said to Avram Avinu, straight away, after he said that Yidden are going to be in slavery, he said, Va'achrichin yetzu b'rechush godl, that straight after that, the Yidden will go out of that country, b'rechush godl, with great riches, with great wealth. In other words, what does that show? That the whole purpose of the Golos Mitzrayim is in order, the Golos of Mitzrayim is like a Yerida, it's a descent. The whole purpose of the descent is for the ascent, for the Aliyah of the Yidden going out of Mitzrayim with a lot of rechush, with a lot of wealth, and of ultimately receiving the Torah and so on and so forth. And therefore, because we find this in the first Golos, which all Goluyos copy this Golos, copy the Golos of Mitzrayim, and the Kol HaMalchuyos Nikrayos Al Shem Mitzrayim. So the same thing is in our Golos HaAcharein, the last Golos. What do we feel? What do we see? We see at the time of Churban, we see the destruction. We see the beginning when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We feel and we see destruction. When is the Regula going to come? In a later time. But Bipnimi is on a deeper level, because the entire purpose of the Golos is to reach the Aliyah of the Geula, as it was in the time of Mitzrayim, that the entire purpose of why the Yidden went out into the foreign land of and they had to serve Avodim Ve'inu Yesom was to go out afterwards Berchush Godel. So really in truth, as soon as there is a moment of Golos, straight away there is the kavana in it, which is to reach the geula. And we find that the Alter Rebbe says this in Tanya, in the beginning of Perek Lamed Zayin. The Alter Rebbe writes as follows: the tachlis hashleimus hazeh shel yemeis haMashiach utchias haMeisim. That this shleimus that's going to be revealed, the completion that's going to be revealed in the time of Mashiach and the times of the resurrection of the dead. Which completion? Which shleimus? Shehu gilo yeirin sof baruchu b'elam hazeh agashmi. The revelation of Hashem's infinite light, Hashem's essence, in this physical world. Revelation of Hashem's essence in this physical world, which that is what is going to be revealed when Mashiach is going to come, says the Alter Rebbe, toloi b'maaseinu v'avedaseinu kol zman meshech hagolus. This depends on the Aveda of Yidden throughout the time of the Golus. In other words, the whole time in Golus, when Yidden are doing Aveda, what are they doing Aveda? They're doing Teira Mitzvahs. What are they mamshech? What do they draw down? Hashem's essence, Hashem's infinite light. That's what they draw down through their Teira Mitzvahs, through their Aveda, through their Maiseinu v'Avedaseinu. And therefore, when they draw down those Giluyim, so really we have in this world, it's only going to be revealed when Mashiach is going to come, but it's already been brought down the Giluyim of Mashiach's time. And therefore, what do we have? The whole time of the Golus, really there is the Giluyim in a Pnimius, in a deeper dimension, there is what's going to be when Mashiach is going to come. But we don't see that. We don't see that. Only Tzadikim and Nesi Yisrael, Rebbes, they see, they have Lichtika Egen. They have eyes that can see spiritual things. And they see in the Golus, they see in the darkness and in the descent of the Golos. And they see also in the Aveda of Yidden, they see the Geula. It's a whole different vision. It's a whole different way of looking at it. Do we see Golos or do we see the Geula? In the Golos. We, regular people, we see Tisha B'Av, we see the Churban. We see the destruction, we see the Yerida of Golos. But Tzadikim, they see what's deeper in the Golos. They see that through our mitzvahs and through our Aveda, we're bringing Mashiach. And not just the tzaddikim see it, but also Hashem showed in the story of the Medrash that we quoted before, that the cow called out again to say that what? That Neilad Mashiach v'Geulon Shel Yisrael. Mashiach was born. With this, the Rebbe explains another interesting concept. There is a concept called kitzin. A kitz means a final deadline time. There is a concept that there is a kitz, a final deadline time of when Mashiach has to come. Now we find something strange about this concept of kitzin. Are we supposed to know that time? Are we not supposed to know that time? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Taf Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis, says clearly, Tipach Atzmon Shal Machash VeKitzin. A very terrible thing, a curse, against those that calculate the time of when Mashiach is going to come. And the Rambam brings this actually in Halacha, in Hilchas Melachim Perik Yud Beis, and then the Valacha base, he says clearly, Le yechashev kitzin, omru chachomim, tipachrucham shal machashve kitzin. In other words, we're not supposed to go and try and find out when Mashiach is going to come. On the other hand, we find a very interesting thing. G'day le Yisrael, many great G'daylim throughout the time of Jewish history, from after the times of the Gemara, throughout all the generations, and not just the Rambam himself, all bring many, many kitzin. The Rambam writes a kitz in his Egeres Taimon, and the Alter Rebbe has a kitz, which he wrote in a Maimer, Vesoelef Oshvameis. There's a kitz from the Rebbe Rashab, and so on and so forth. From the Friedrich Rebbe, there's a kitz. in Tafshin Gimel. Now, the reason why the Gemara said that one shouldn't, Tipach Atman Shel Mechash V'Kitzin, because people that would wait for Mashiach to come at that case, at that time, and if they'd say that Mashiach has to come, then if that time came and he didn't come, they'd give up hope waiting because he didn't come. Well, as the Rambam explains in his Geras Taimon, what's the problem with it? That many people will give up hope in their Emunah, and so on and so forth, and be some Mashiach, and therefore Chachamim davened on these people that Tipach Daitam V'Yishchas Cheshveinam, Hashem should ruin all their plans and all those that make calculations of when Mashiach has to come. In other words, the fear of having a Ketz is that we shouldn't give up hope. On the other hand, that G'dayli Yisrael did say certain Ketzim was on the contrary, to encourage Yidden, that Yidden shouldn't fall in frustration and give up hope. So Yid G'dayli Yisrael, in the Lashon of the, as the Rambam writes, were gathered together, Hamein Am, Al derech cheshbin akitzim, through reckoning out these kitzim, and encouraged them and brought out and strengthened their munah and their hope in the Geula through telling them that the Geula is about to come at a certain time. What do we see from here? Clearly the difference between, again, the view of regular people as we see the Geulas and the view of tzaddikim, that they see in the entire time of the Geulas. What do they see? They see the Pnimius. They see how the Aveda of every single day and every single minute in Golas brings the Geula. And every day there's more and more Giluyim and Aliyas, elevations. We're getting closer. And there's greater Giluyim, greater revelations. So they, many G'dayli Yisrael, decided that if there'd be so much and so much, a great amount of Aveda, that would be, then it would take a certain amount of time to reach that amount, and therefore they made a case that in order to get, well, from the time when they said it until that time, till the time of the case, would be enough time for Yidden to do so much Aveda to bring and to bring Mashiach to the shleimus of how it could be at that to the, till the time of the case. And that was really the point and the purpose, what drove the Rambam, like we said, the Alter Rebbe, to tell Yidden to give them a Hesedrus, to give Yidden a Hesedrus, an encouragement to do more in Aveda of Torah Mitzvahs, that they should bring the Shleimus of what could be brought till the Ketz. But it's obviously not an Isur, because they are Tzaddikim, and they see the greatness, the great Aliyah and the Rechush Gadol that Yidden can reach, and because they have the Avis Yisrael to Yidden, so they megale to give Yidden the strength to do in their Aveda. And according to all of this, we can explain what is Shabbos. This gives us an insight also in Shabbos Chazayin. Because as we said before, we see the Golos. We see Kipshutei, the Chazayin Yeshayo is the calamities of the Puronusa, of what's the destruction that's going to come on the Yidden. On the other hand, we know the famous word that's brought down from the Pilul Parashah, B'shem the Reb Levi Yitzchak of Adichev, that Shabbos Chazayin, Chazayin Miloshin Machzeh, Chazayin means a vision. That on the Shabbos we show, Hashem shows every single Yid the Beis HaMikdash of Lasid Lavi, the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. How does that fit with the simple translation of Chazayin, that it's destruction? This is what we're saying. Because straight in the Churban, Beis HaMikdash, when we reach the lowest level, then we see in it, straight away, the binyan hamikdash tilasid. We see in the destruction, the rebuilding. And when we know this, and when we focus on this, it gives a yid the strength not to be dazzled and not to nispal from the difficulties of the cheshech hagolos. And b'derech memele in the aveda, the aveda v'yid of masein v'avedesein, who calls mameshech hagolos, gets stronger and stronger and higher and higher, which brings ultimately to the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, which is already standing in heaven, and we should see it, Kipshutei, it should come down, L'mata Ma'asara Tvachim, and we should be Zeche to Yovei Aryeh, B'mazal Aryeh, V'yivna Ariel, as it says in the Pasuk, Bein Yerushalayim Hashem, Nidche Yisrael Yechanes B'mheirav Yameinu Mamesh.